Okay, today's daf is Maseches Sota, daf Beis Amud Aleph. We begin Maseches Sota. So by way of introduction to Maseches Sota deals with, as you would probably imagine, all the dinim of a Sota, a woman who's suspected of being Mezana, a married woman who's suspected of being Mezana with someone else. The husband has warned her not to be alone in a room with that fellow, and she violates his Hasra'ah, and she goes alone in a room with him. So the halach is that Midaraisa Rechoshesh, that maybe there was Tumah, maybe they had violated Bia, and therefore she becomes Asur Labaila until she does the Bedikas Me'amarim, until she drinks the special waters that will be Bodek, whether she is innocent or guilty. This is the only place in Torah where the Halacha requires that we rely on a miracle, seemingly, that this Me'sota process is a miracle. If the woman happens to have been married to a Kohen, she's Asur Lechel Betruma right away until she's cleared. And the Torah says that it's Dafka done with Mayim Amarim, where we erase the Shem Hashem in the water, and then the water will let us know whether she has violated Tumah or not. And if nothing happens, then we see that she's vindicated. So the Torah tells us, the Torah itself teaches us in Bamidbar Parakei all of the dinim of a Sota, and the karbanos that she has to bring, and the bedikah of the Sota, and the onesh of a Sota, and the schar of a Sota if she's Tahara. So the topics of this Masechta primarily relate to the kinoy, which is the husband telling the wife that he doesn't want her being alone with a certain man, the stira, which is the yichud that she has with that man, and the bringing of the woman to the Beis HaMikdash so that she could drink the me'amarim, the korban mincha that she has to bring, the various klalos that we issue on her, and hashkas me'sota. And then in the seventh parak, the Mishnah is going to talk about the kohen being mashbia the isha, is going to say it to her b'chal lashon. He's allowed to say it in any language. So we're going to have a series of mishnayos. We're going to have a discussion about what things have to be said in general b'lashon hakodesh, and what types of things could be said b'chal lashon. We're also going to have other topics in the Masechta. The Masechta is going to talk about Klal Yisrael entering Eretz Yisrael, a little bit about Birchas Kohanim, Dinim of Milchama, the Kohen Mashuach Milchama, the Egla Arufa. So we're going to have other topics as well, but primarily the topics of the Masechta really relate to the name of the Masechta. It primarily relates to Sota itself. Now the Sefer HaChinuch writes in Mitzvah Shin Samachay that the Shoresh of this Mitzvah is Nigla L'chol Roei HaShemesh. It's very obvious what the purpose of this Mitzvah is, that it's a great Shevach for Klal Yisrael, that we have a way to weed out any people who are Mizana, and that way no other nation has that, so all other nations have trouble with their Yichus and they don't really know who's who, but we're always going to know who's who. We're always going to have a higher level of Yichus because we're able to weed out anyone who is Mizana and be able to find them through these supernatural ways, and therefore it makes a lot of sense that Klal Yisrael is on this higher level of Kedusha and is able to retain this higher level of Kedusha because of the Sota. But once Niskalkalu ba'averos, once the people have started violating averos left and right, or these kinds of averos, so then Mishor Rabu Hanoaf Impasku Me'sota. That's when Me'sota stopped. That's what the Gemara is going to say much later in the Masechta. So once the Nes is going to be needed too often, and people are not maintaining the Yichus properly, so then the Me'sota stopped. The Gemara tells us, Reish Lakish holds that when Reish Lakish, the Gemara is going to see in today's daf, tells us that Reish Lakish would begin Masechta Sota, he would start with the drasha that Ein Mizavgan L'Adam Isha Ela L'Fi Ma'asav, that a person gets a shidduch based on how good a person he is. That if he's a tzaddik, he'll get an isha tznua. If he's a rasha, he's going to get a prutza. So in the Radal explains that the Gemara is also going to say that Reish Lakish holds that it's usher for a person to be mekani l'ish. So these two things might be connected, because if a person thinks that his wife is a prutza, so nevertheless Reish Lakish says don't be mekane her. If you think your wife is a prutza, it's a good idea, look in the mirror and see that maybe you're a rasha. So that's why the two statements of Reish Lakish are related to each other. Now, why is it called Masecha Sota, not Masecha Sotos? So in the after all, any woman could theoretically become a sota. So in the Hakdama to the Masifta over here, he quotes from the Hakdama Smichas Chachamim L'Shas, that the reason it's called sota B'Lashon Yachid, not sotos, is to be merames, that Benos Yisrael are not nachshel al kach, and therefore it's a very uncommon thing. So we want to emphasize how uncommon it is by saying ki'ilu, whenever you have a sota, like she's the only one that ever happened, as if it's not something that would happen too often. Plus, the sota can be, without nekudos, you can pronounce it sote as well, to be merame, is that the husband is also not tahar. It's a remiss to the idea that iu be kari vi iu be butzina. The Gemara is going to have an expression later on. She likes a certain type of melon, he likes another type of melon. Meaning if she's doing something that's not right, he's probably doing something else that's not right. So it's to highlight that the husband is also to blame, and that it's not just about blaming the woman. So today we're going to do Daf Beis of Masechta Sota. The Mishnah is just going to start out by giving us a variety of opinions of how many Edim are needed for each step of the process of making a woman Sota, and it goes through a little bit of what the process is of making a woman Sota. Then the Gemara is going to start out with a discussion of the order of the Masechtos, why we have Sota now, right after Masechta's Nazir. Normally the Rishonim discuss, we have explicit in the Gemara over here, and then the Gemara is going to talk about how Kodesh Baruch Hu sets up Shiduchim. Is it predestined or is it dependent on our Zechuyos? And then the majority of the first half of Amud Aleph, of Amud Beis rather, is going to be finding the source that an Eid Echad is believed on Tumah. Meaning our Mishnah is going to talk about how many Eidim you need for the Kinoi and the Stira. The Kinoi is when the husband says, I don't want you to be alone in a room with that guy. The Stira is when she actually has the Yichud with the fellow. What about if someone comes and is made that there was actual tumah, that she actually slept with the person? So how do we know that an Eid Echad is believed on the tumah? The Gemara is going to discuss that. And then toward the middle of Amud Beis, we're going to look for a source for each of the shitos about how many Edim are needed for the Kinoi and for the Stira. And the Gemara is going to advise not to do Kinoi Bizman Azeh, because we don't have a way to resolve it. We don't have a Mesota to take care of it. And then at the end, we're going to explain what the Lashon of Kinoi is. Why it is that when the husband tells his wife he doesn't want her hanging out with a certain man, why do we call that Kinoi? That's at the end of the Daf. So let's begin the Masechta. The Mishnah Beis Amud Aleph. Hamakani the Ishto. If a person does kinoy on his wife, he tells his wife he doesn't want her being with a certain man. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Mekani la al pi shnayim umashka al pi erechad al pi atzmo. That the kinoy has to be done in front of two edim, but when she has the yichud, that could be done even al pi erechad, even if only one person saw that she had the yichud, or even if nobody else saw it's al pi atzmo. There were no edim to the yichud. He himself says, Reisia shenistera. I saw that she was alone in a room with this man after I was ready kinesila, after I already told her not to. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Mekanila al Pishnayim Umashka al Pishnayim. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, just like you need two witnesses for the kinoi, you also need two witnesses to be mashka al pi shnayim. So you see that that you need two witnesses for each part. The bepashtos, it's mashma, that it doesn't need to be the same two witnesses. It doesn't need to be the same two witnesses for the kinoi and for the stira. It could be two different witnesses. The Arsameach in Hilchas Sota, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph asks, wait a second, each set of edim should be possible. It should be a problem of chatzi davar, that in general edim have to testify about something that's a complete matter, not about a half a story. So even according to the Rabbanan, that edim chazak, we have a discussion Maseches Basra when edim are being made about someone having a cheskas gimel shanim. So the Rabbanan hold that you could have two edim testify that a guy was there in the land for 1 year, two edim testify about the second year, and two other edim testify about the third year. And the Rabbanan say that's not a problem because there is some halachic mashmaus to saying that the person was there for even 1 year, in that they're chayiv to pay for the peiros that they ate during that year. But there has to be some halachic significance to each stage. Over here, it's only with the kinui and the stira together that we declare it to be tamei or asura labaila. So how could it be that edim, you could have two different sets of edim, one for the kinui, one for the stira? That's the kasha that the Arsameach raises. The Arsameach suggests that the issue of chatzi davar is only in something that's a simen, like 3 years of of chazak or beis saaros, shtei saaros, you testify about the gadlus of an individual, a person being a gadol or gadola. But with things that are etzem v'sibas hachiyuv, like kineva, mechiras nefesh, then even chatzi davar will help. So he says over here, it's not that kinoi and stira are just a raya and raglayim ledavar, that it's an indication that there's tuma. No, they themselves are the iser. Meaning, let's say you have the man and that was suspected of being with this woman, and the woman herself, they know that nothing happened. They know that there was no tuma, that there was no bia. So would she, as long as no one's looking, would she now be mutter? Is she now mutaris? Really, Lebaila? It's just that people don't know that she's mutaris. Says Yeras Meich, no, she's not mutaris. Can she sneak some truma if she's Nashis Kohen? Eat some truma? Because after all, she knows she's innocent. She knows she didn't do anything. Says Yeras Meich, no, absolutely not. The kinoi and the stira aser her on their own. They're an iser be'etzem. It's not just an indication of something else. And therefore, the edus on the kinoi, the edus on the stira, each one on its own, is considered a valid edus. Says the Mishnah further. Now, ketzen mekanila, how does this kinoi work? How does the process go ahead? Omela b'fnei shnayim, al tedabri yimish ploni. A man says to his wife in front of two edim, I don't want you speaking with this man. V'dibra imo, and she went and she spoke with that man. Adayini mutaris lebesu mutaris lachal b'tshuma. Nothing happens. There's nothing about that. That is not a halacha. That if she goes and speaks with someone, that does misses not to speak to. But nichnasa imo lebes haseser. But if she goes and has yichud with such a man that the husband had said that he doesn't want her to be with, v'shas imo, and they wait there long enough, they stay in a private area long enough that there would be time for bia, then asura lebesa v'asura lechal b'tshuma. Then she becomes asura to her husband, and if she's married to a kohen, she's asura lechal b'tshuma. The imes, and if the husband dies, choletzas v'lomis yavemis. She's not eligible for yibum, she can only do chalitza and not yibum. There's going to be a mishnah later on, daf chav dalid, that al yidei kola arayos mekanin, that the kinoi does not only happen with some strange man that the husband doesn't want her with. Let's say the husband is suspicious of her father, her brother, and he says to her, I don't want you to be alone with your father, your brother. So that also counts as a kinoi, and that could ask her enough that she's going to have to be shosa the meisota. So what you see over here is that one, what you see from there rather, is that one might have thought that kinoi is telling, it's like adding extra emphasis to the already existing yisur of yichud, that there already is an yisur yichud. So the husband's saying, listen, you have an yisur yichud, you're not behaving properly, don't violate the Isur Yichud. But you see from that Mishnah that it's really independent of the Isur Yichud. This relates to when a husband is suspicious of something having nothing to do with the Isur Yichud. A woman is allowed to have Yichud with her father under normal circumstances, but if the husband is suspicious that there's something inappropriate going on, so then the Kinoi would still be Asur. So that's what emerges. And the reason for that is, the Bach points out in Ebenezer, Simkovayin Ches, is that the fact that we allow these arayos to have yichud with each other is based on what the Gemara says in Masech Sanhedrin of Samuch Dalid, that the Chachamim came up with a way to defeat the Yetzer Hara, or to dull the Yetzer Hara of arayos. So at least arayos of Krovim. But over here, when the husband is Mekaneh, so you see that there's a Dvar Pritzus, and you can't rely on the Chazaka that the Yetzer Hara is not going to be there for Krovim. Normally there's a Chazaka that most normal people don't have a yetzer hara for such krovim, for a sibling, for a parent. But over here, it's a major reyasa in the chazaka that obviously he sees that there's something wrong. Now Rashi over here points out that there are three different psukim in the Torah. It says asura lebeisa, she's asura lechuma. Rashi says k'dialfinu lekaman shlosha v'nitma amurim beparsha. It says v'nitma three times in the parsha. V'kine yisishto v'hi nitma v'nistra v'hi nitma tachas isha v'nitma. So why do we have three times v'nitma? Echad shasur lebal, vechad shasur leboel, im yomus bailo yigashena, vechad shasur letruma. One to tell me that she's asura to her husband, the others tell me that she's asura to the man that she was suspected of being with, and the third one tell me that she's asura betruma. So it is interesting, Tos Shantz points out, why doesn't the Mishnah mention that? The Mishnah mentions asur lebesa and asur lechal truma, but doesn't mention asur leboel. So we suggest that we're only mentioning the asur truma agav the ratio where we mention that she's mutaris betruma. But the dinner the Boel isn't mentioned in the Reisha, so we're not going to mention the din of the Boel over here. But really, there are three things that are going on over here, not just two, as Rashi points out. So says Gemara, Michti, Tana Minazir Salak, my Tana to Katani Sota. We just finished Maseches Nazir. Why is it that Sota follows on the heels of Maseches Nazir? Now, even though we generally have a klal that ain't Seder the Mishnah, so what are we looking for over here that we're trying to come up with the reason for the order over here? So the Rishonim explain that klal is only true when you have a machlokas and achar kach stam. That you're trying to figure out if Rebbe maybe had discussed the machlokas and then he came to some sort of resolution in a later Mishnah, so he had a stam Mishnah. So you can't say, well, if there was a machlokas in a Mishnah in Nazir, and then a stam Mishnah like one side in a Mishnah in Sota, so it must be that Rebbe later resolved the issue. That's where we say in Seder the Mishnah, because in Seder the Mishnah means that in Rebbe's yeshiva, they didn't start with brachos and learn straight through to Nida like we do with Daf Yomi. That in Rebbe's yeshiva, they learned in whatever order, you know, they had some sort of, I don't know how they chose, but they learned in whatever order they learned, like most yeshivas nowadays. They don't just learn straight through Shas. In Valashin, that's what they did. They started with brachos and they went straight through till Nida. They learned through Shas that way. Most yeshivas, even though everything else was patterned after Valashin, don't learn that way. So that's what it means, Ein Seder L'Mishnah. But it doesn't mean that the order of the Mishnayos is random. When put together in a book and arranged, the order is done with specifically. It's just that's not the way they happen. That's not the order they happen to have learned it in, but the order that it was set up in is true. You have such a similar idea when it comes to Ein Muktam Mukhar B'Torah, that in the Torah there's no, what does it mean, there's no order in the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just randomly took parshiyos of the Torah and just threw them up in the air and saw where they landed, and it makes no difference whatsoever. No, that's not true. Ein Muktam Mukhar B'Torah means chronologically. It's not the way things happen. This is not the order of events, the way they happened historically, but of course there's reason why everything is placed where it is in the Torah. So in the Mishnayos as well, that this is not chronologically the way Rebbe learned it, but of course there's reason why we have each Masechta where it is. So why do we have Sota over here? Kid the Rebbe says more like Rebbe taught us. Tanya, Rebbe Yomar Lavan is Parshas Nazir and Parshas Sota. Why is Parshas Nazir and Parshas Sota so close together in the Torah? Lomar lecha to teach us Shekalaroa Sota b'kulkula yazer atzma min ayayin, that the appropriate response to seeing the kilkul of a Sota is to be yazer atzma min ayayin, for a person to take upon himself an azirus from yayin. Because you see what wine can cause, how terribly a person can sin as a result of being irresponsible with his drinking. V'listni sota v'hada listni nazir. So let it say sota first and then say nazir. Wouldn't that make more sense? Haroa sota b'kukula. The response is yazer atzma min ayin. So let it say sota first. I did the Tana Ksubis, the Tana Madir, Tana Nedarim. Well, it started with Ksubis. Once we had the seventh parak of Ksubis, parak Madir, which was all about Nedarim, so we learned Nedarim in Seder and Nashim right after that. Vaidi Tana Nedarim, Tana Nami Nazir. Thematically, Nedarim and Nazir are very closely linked to Dami Nedarim. They're comparable to each other. V'katani Sota Kedarebi. And once we're having Nazir in the Seder, so we want to have Sota in the Seder as well. If you look in Tosa, Tosa's Tema, Vabresh Mesechas Nazir, Amr Delot Tanalei, Ela Agav Sota Kedarebi. That over here we're saying, why is it that Nazir is in Seder Nashim? So over here we're saying Nazir is in Seder Nashim because of Nedarim, and it's so closely related to Nedarim. That's not what it says in Nazir Daf Beis. In Nazir Daf Beis it says that Nazir is in Seder Nashim because of Sota. Sota belongs in Seder Nashim. Nazir's got nothing to do with women per se. A woman could become a Nazir, but so could a man. So Nazir's got nothing to do with women per se, yet it's there because of Sota, the Gemara says. And yet over here we're saying that it's there because of Nedarim. So it says Tosfos Yeshlomer Delo Kava B'Seder Nashim Ela Agav Sota Umishim De Damiel Nedarim Kava Basr Nedarim. That there are two issues over here. What's it doing in Seder Nashim at all? And once it's in Seder Nashim, where are we going to place it in Seder Nashim? What's it doing in Seder Nashim? That's because of its relationship to Sota. Once it's in Seder Nashim, where are we going to place it? Well, you got to put it after Nedarim, because on a whole, it's so much more connected to Nedarim. Makes sense when you're learning as we go through the Daf Yom. show me that we went straight from Nedarim to Nazir. It would have been a little bit funny to go from Nedarim to Sota to Nazir. Nedarim and Nazir are very much connected to each other. Over here, we have one idea about Sota and about Nazir, but that doesn't help in your learning. That just helps in understanding that there's some connection between them. So then Tosa says, Amailo Kava Agav Nedarim. So Paragdal Nazir Tanim Mishnayas Tuva Demairi Benidre Nashim Uba Hafaras Baal. Why is it that we need it? We need to put it here because of Sota. We need to put Nazir because of Sota. Why not put it here? Why not put it here? Agav Nedarim, because there's a lot about Nidre Nashim and the Hafar of the husband. So we'd rather connect Nazir to Sota because in the Torah it's connected. In the Torah, Nazir and Sota are juxtaposed with each other. Okay, says the Gemara now. If a person is Mekani his wife, sounds like it's not something that's preferred, that it's a bidiyavid. If he does this, but l'chachilu one is not supposed to do this. So Tosfos wonders about that diuk. Is that true? Every time you have a word that begins with a hey, ha, someone who does this, it always means only b'di'evit. So Tosfos gives like 5-6 examples from Shas where we see that haminiach chavim b'chanusa, or you have hashochet esamasu kenes, hashochet esatarnagolas. You have all sorts of different has that are not only b'di'evit, that are even l'chachila. So Tosfos says, yeah, kalechadik l'mitli b'lishon da'yikachi. Whenever it makes sense, we'll make this diuk. When it doesn't make sense, we won't make this diuk. So the Gemara makes this diuk over here that it sounds like it's only a b'di'evit. Because some tana didan asur the kanos. So our tana must be assuming that it's asur for men to be mekane his wife. The Sefer Minchas Chareva says, wait a second, there's a famous taz in Yerideya Simen Kuf Yud Zayin, or Chaim Simen Tav Kuf Peches, and Elchel Shofar, and Elchel Shemishpat Simen Beis, where the taz says, you know, the Rabbanon are allowed to make dinim. That's certainly the Migdar Milsa, they're allowed to make takanos, they're allowed to make gezeros, but there are limits to what the Rabbanon are allowed to be gozer and misakin. The Rabbanon are never allowed to tell you to do something against what's mefurash b'kra. The Rabbanon could add something that's not mefurash b'kra, could tell you b'shevi alta said not to do something as long as it doesn't go against what's mefurash b'kra. They can't go against something that's mefurash b'kra. So says the Minchas Chareva, the Torah says that a person does kinoi, and here the Rabbanon tell you, but it's asur to do kinoi. It's mefurash b'kra that people do kinoi, that it's not asur to do kinoi. So you suggest maybe the Torah is not telling you that it's mutter to do kinoi. The Torah is telling you how the process works once a man does kinoi, and that there are halachos that apply, but not that it's mutter to do kinoi. And even if the Torah is saying it's mutter, maybe he says for a geder and a siag l'shalom bayis, that's an exception to the rule. An unbelievable chiddush that normally the rabbanon are not allowed to tell you to go against what it says in the Torah, but when it comes to shalom bayis, the rabbanon are authorized to do so. A special geder siag l'shalom bayis that are authorized even to tell you what's against that which is mefurash b'kra. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak, he have a pasach Reish Lakish b'sota Amar Hachi. When Reish Lakish would begin learning Masechah Sota, teaching Masechah Sota, he would begin with the following drasha: Ein mizavgan l'ladim isha elo l'fi ma'asav. That when a person is given a wife, his shidduch depends on his own actions. Shenamer kilo yanuach shevet harash al girl at tzadikim. So you see that a tzadik gets a tznua, gets a wonderful woman, and a rasha gets a bad woman. Amar Rabba bar Bechanan Rav Yochanan, v'kashin l'zavgan k'kriyas yamsov, and making these zivugim is as difficult as Kriyas Yamsuf. A lot of ink has been spilled to try to figure out what that means. Anything is kashal from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? No, it doesn't mean that it's difficult for Hashem to do. It means that it's an unnatural process, that it's a process that requires a lot of siyata d'shmaya. Shnemer l'kim oshev yichidim beisa motzi asirim b'kosharos. Eini asked the Gemara of Amrav Yidu Amrav arbaim yom kodim yitzir savlad baskal yotzi savameris pas ploni l'poni bayis ploni l'ploni sada ploni l'ploni. Don't we learn that 40 days before the Yetziras Havlad, Tosfos points out Yetziras Havlad meaning the guy, the boy, 40 days before the boy is born, there's already a baskal that goes out and says bas ploni l'ploni, so it's already determined, not just the bas, the bayis, which house he's going to live in, what fields he's going to own, all of that is predetermined before he's even born. Mm-hmm. But the point over here is about the shidduch, that bas ploni l'ploni is already predetermined. So how could you say, the way Rashi at least understands the kasha is, how could you say it's kasha l'zavgan, that name is zavgan el fi ma'asav, that name is zavgan el fi ma'asav? What do you mean in zavgan el fi ma'asav? It's already before he ever had a chance to do any Maisa. It was already determined who his wife is going to be. The Marsha understands that the Kasha is really on Kasha Lezavgan. They were saying, what do you mean it's Kasha Lezavgan? It sounds like Kodesh Baruch Hu 40 days beforehand is already announcing. It sounds like it wasn't so much work at all to be Mezavik. But Rashi understands, like we said, that the question is, how can you say that it's based on Lefi Ma'asav if we see that it's even before he ever has a chance to do any Maisa? Here is Shidduch is already determined. Says Gemara Lo Kasha, Habazivik Rishon, Habazivik Sheni. It depends whether it's his first Shidduch or his second Shidduch. The first Shidduch is the easy one, is the one that's Bas Ploni Leploni. The second Shidduch is the one that's Lefi Ma'asav. That's the one that he's going to have to earn. A lot of discussion about that as well. What it means a first Shidduch and a second Shidduch. Pashtus is if a person ever has a second marriage is much more complicated, much more difficult to make a second marriage work than it is to make a first marriage work. The Rishonim also discuss the idea, why is it Bas Ploni Leploni? Why not just say who she is? So the Pashtus is that in the Iyun Yaakov he says, because the daughter is Bereshus Avia to be Mekal, the father's Mekabel Kiddushin for the daughter. We're talking about the Zivug, so when a girl is born, she's Bereshus Avia for Kabbalah's Kiddushin, so we talk about Bas Ploni. But the Pashtus is that most of the time the girl's not born yet. So there is no girl yet, there is no Ploni at the time that the of the Yitziris Havlad of the Zachar. That's what the Achronim talk about. Already from the times of Adam and Rishon, most people would marry girls who were somewhat younger than them. It's not a halacha. You don't have to marry a girl that's younger than you, but that's the natural assumption. And if the girl's already born, the baskol will say ploni, plonis leploni. So it's not a person who's allowed to marry a girl that's older than him. That's they bring the raya, the two miyaldos ivrios. There's a discussion in the medrash. Who are they? The miyaldos ivrios. So one possibility is, and the one that's more popularly taught is that the two miyaldos were Yocheved and Miriam. But there's another possibility. That it was Elisheva and Yocheved. So that was one man. The Yomer says Kalav Chamosa. The other one says Isha Ubita. So it was either Yocheved and Miriam or Yocheved and Elisheva. So Elisheva, Rashi writes, is Bito Shel Aminadav, Ishto Shel Aaron, the wife of Aaron. So the Mefarshei Medrash ask, how could it be that Elisheva was already Ishto Shel Aaron? Aaron was only 3 years older than Moshe Rabbeinu. So at this time, what, he was two and a half years old. So he already had a wife. So some say, no, it means the woman who would one day be the wife of Aaron. Others say, no, she was much older than him. So Aaron married an older woman, and therefore it's Ishto Shel Aaron already at that time. Okay, says the Gemara further, Lazar Mekani Lal Pishnayim, that the kinoy has to be done Al Pishnei Ad Edim. This is only when it comes to the kinoy estira, but to say that she was actually niv'elas to the man, that even an eid echad is going to be believed. If one eid says, I saw that the woman was tamei, she no longer drinks meisota, because we believe the guy. So meisota is when you're dealing with a suffix, soda, but this already is a case of vadai. Midaraisa minalan de mehemen eidechad. So says Gemara, how do we know on a daraisa level that an eidechad is believed? It's interesting, this quote in Shulchan Aruch, this din that an eidechad is believed. Shulchan Aruch nevene ezer simen kufa in chesif yudalit. Beishmul, on the side of the Shulchan Aruch up there, says the mainaf kamina for bizman hazeh. What do we need to know? What are we adding within them? Manas for the aid, bizman hazeh, we don't have mayim amarim. So the whole nafkamina we're saying in the Gemara is she can't drink the meisot anymore once you have an aid echad. So we don't have mayim amarim to give her anyway. So once he's makanila v'nistara, she's asura l'bayla and she's going to be asura forever. So the aid doesn't add anything. He's not mosif, he's not correct. So why does the Shulchan Aruch mention that an aid echad is believed? So it could be nafkamina is that if the husband dies without any children, so if there was no aid that was made on her tumma, she would require chalitza. But maybe even having an Eid Echad would take away the requirement for Chalitza, because we believe that there was in fact Tumah. That's Paskin in the Rambam in 10th Parak of Hilchos Yibam. Now you have an Eid that's made Al Tumasa, so then she's a Sota Vadayis, and therefore she doesn't need Chalitza. The Pischei Tshuva quotes from the author of Tiferes Yisrael that with Kinoy and Stira alone, even though she's Asura to him, but you can't force them to get divorced. The Nafkamina by saying Eid Echad is now we could be Kofa Lagarsha. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch says about the Eidechot. So those are the two possibilities why the Shulchan Aruch has to quote this lahalacha, either to let us know that she's not going to require chalitza when you have the Eidechot, or to let us know that now we're even allowed to force them to get divorced when there's an Eidechot. So how do we know that an Eidechot is an Eman over here? To Tan Rabbanan, we have a Braisa. The Eid Ein Ba. The Torah says that if a woman sleeps with a man, vinella meine isha, and the husband doesn't know about it, v'nisra v'nitba, the aid ain ba, and there's no aid, then she becomes a sota. So b'shtayim akasim medaber roinu ela afilu be'echad. When it says the aid ain ba, does that mean there are no two aidim, or does it mean there's not even a single aid? So tamalomar lo yakum aid echad be'ish. That's why the pasuk says lo yakum aid echad be'ish. Pasuk in Dvarim l'chalavon l'chalchatos etc. So b'mashma shenemar lo yakum aid be'ish eni yodei shu echad. Why does the Torah have to say lo yakum aid echad be'ish? Let the Torah just say lo yakum aid be'ish, and I'll know that aid is a singular word, and therefore it means that one aid. Matam alamar echad, why does it have to say echad? Ah, zebineyav, this tells me what the word aid means in kol ha-tarukula, that kol makam shnemar aid, harekan shnayim, ad sheifot l'cha kasav echad, that in general, wherever the Torah uses the term aid, it always refers to shnei aidim, until the Torah specifies aid echad. So now taking it back to our pasuk about the sota, the aid ein ba now means, the word aid always means shnei aidim. So we're saying she doesn't have two aidim, but she has one aid. So when she doesn't have two aidim, but she does have one aid, vihilo nitbisa, and she wasn't raped, then asura, she's going to be asura to her husband. But wait a second, so we're saying now it's only because of this limud. Had we not had this special limud of loyakum erechad be'ish, we would have thought that when it says ve'eid ein ba, it means that there's not even one aid. Well, if there's not even one aid, what's the hava mina to say that she would be asura? So it says more isrich. Salka daitachamina aid ein ba, a ne'eman ba. We might have thought aid ein ba doesn't mean that there happens to not be an aid. It's that an aid is inconsequential. That aid a ne'eman ba, that an aid echad would never be believed about her. A ne'eman ba, vel my bayi adika trey, lishto kramine, dasi davar davar mimamon. So what? That an aid, if that's what it was telling me, that an aid echad is not ne'eman ba, so what's it telling me? That you need two aidim? I need a pasuk to tell me that two aidim are believed and that you need two aidim. Generally speaking, that's the default position. Without the Torah telling me about anything, about how many aidim you need to have ne'emanus, we naturally assume that it's going to be two aidim. Because we learn davar davar mimamon, that you always need two aidim. V'anayadanim, midi dava kol adiyo shabatorah. And we'll know that it would just be like every other aidus in the Torah. So don't tell me that the hava mina is that the aid ein ba is teaching me that one aid is inconsequential because you really need two, then it wouldn't have to tell me anything. The aid ein ba must be telling me that whatever number of aidim the word aid refers to is something that you don't have, that you don't have. If it refers to two aidim, then you only have one. If it refers to one, then you have zero. So Sazmar Itzrich. No, I would have thought that over here by sota you don't need to aid him because it's raglayim ledavar. Shari kina levinisra, raglayim ledavar means it's liable to happen. It's most likely that this is the path this person was going down. There was a kinoi, there was a stira. Something was not right over here. So the summon by erechad, I might think you should therefore believe in erechad because there are so all arrows are pointing in that direction that there's something wrong over here. So you might think in that case that an erechad is going to be believed. So, Fraklingmaru, me matzah armit, te ein neman ba, visharia, famidhsiva hilonitvasa machalda asura. How can you say that he's not believed and she's therefore going to be muteras? Pasuk says vihilonitvasa, that implies that she's asura. So, says Mar Isrich, salpatait chamina ein neman ba adi katre, ubtre nami hidilonitvasa. Now you might have thought that an aid is not going to be believed about her unless there are two witnesses, and even if there are two witnesses, she's asura if she was interested in the bia, so. So therefore, come Ashmalan. That's why it has to. That's why it has to tell me. The Bryce has to tell me from the pasuk of Lo Yakum Eid Echad Be'ish that whenever the Torah says the word Eid Stam, it means Eidus of two people. So when it says by Sota the Eid Ein Ba, it does not mean to say that one Eid is not believed, only two Eidim are believed. No, what it means to say is you didn't have two Eidim that were made about her Tumah. You only had one, and nevertheless, that one is Ne'eman to make her Asura. So that's the source of Eid Echad being Ne'eman in a case with this Kinyan Stira, that Eid Echad is Ne'eman on the Tumah. So says Gemara, Rabbi Shua Omer Mekani Lal Pishnayim. We had a machlokas in the Mishnah. How many people you need to be for the Kinyan and the Stira? So Rabbi Shua said you need two Eidim for the Kinyan, two Eidim for the Stira. My time is Rabbi Shua. Where does Rabbi Shua get this from? So Omer Kra, because the Pasuk says Ba. So since the Pasuk says Ba, so it sounds like Ba v'lo b'kinoi, v'lo b'stira. That by Tumah it says that an Eid Echad is Ne'eman. So when is an Eid Echad Ne'eman? Yeah, by Tumah, but not b'kinoi, not b'stira. You would need two Eidim for a kinoi and stira. Rabbi Lazar disagrees, will say Ba v'lo b'kinoi. That by kinoi you're right, you need two Eidim. Because an Eid Echad is Ne'eman, Ba, but not by kinoi. But Vayim above a lobestira, why doesn't Rabbi Eliezer say above a lobestira that you should need to aid him for stira as well? Well, he says stira iskish lotuma. There's a hackish between stira and tuma, between the yichud and the bia. Dechsiv nistera vihinitma, that it's juxtaposed right together in the pasuk. Kino nami iskish lotuma, dechsiv kini asisho vihinitma. Ask the Gemara, but wait a second, kinoi also is there's a hackish between kinoi and tuma as well. So shouldn't you say that you don't need to aid him for kinoi either? So says Mar Hamid Rahmana Ba. No, but you have Ba to tell me that there's some place that you do need two Eidim. So it must be the place you do need two Eidim is the Kinoi. Umar Isa. Well, you have a Hekesh that compares Kinoi to Tuma, and you have a Hekesh that compares Stira to Tuma. And you also have a Mir of Ba to tell me that one of them isn't really compared to Tuma. So how do you know to say that Kinoi is not like Tuma, and Stira is yes like Tuma? Maybe it should be the other way around. Maybe Kinoi should be yes like Tuma and only need an Eid Echad, and Stira should be not like Tuma and require two Eidim. So Mistavra Stira Adifa, Shekin Asarta Ketuma. If we're going to link something with Tuma, it makes more sense the Yichud would be linked with Tumah, because the Yichud is what finally asers her, just like Tumah would aser her. In fact, one could argue that Kinoi is the more logical choice, because that's what really causes the whole problem. Meaning that's the Iker, that without Kinoi, before a Stira, the Stira doesn't do anything. Stira is only asers her when it was preceded by a Kinoi. So Ilav Stira, Kinoi Miika? Says, yeah, but if without the Stira, is the Kinoi alone cause any sort of Isser whatsoever? It's only the Stira afterwards that's goring the Isser. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you can say the opposite also. If you love Kinoi, Stira Mayahani. What does Stira help if you didn't have a Kinoi before it? The woman does not become Asur with the Stira unless the husband was Makani or first. So we're still back to the Kasha. Why does Rabbi Lezer compare Tumah to Stira more than he compares Tumah to Kinoi? So the Gemara answers, Afiluachi Stira Adifa, das Chalta to Tumahi. It's more comparable, it makes more sense to compare Tumah to Stira because that's how Tumah begins. A woman is only Bali Dei Tumah when she's able to have Yichud with the person. So that's why it's mentioned first. Says Gemara Masnisin, in our Mishnah where we taught the Shita of Rabbi Lazar that for a Kinoi you need two Eidim, Stira you only need one Eid, so we have a Tana that holds differently in the Shita of Rabbi Lazar. Masnisin Delo Kei Tana. Our presentation of Rabbi Lazar's opinion is different than the following presentation of Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Titania, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Domer, Mishum, Rabbi Eliezer, Hamakani, Lishto, Makani, Alpi Erechad, Alpi Atzmo, Umashkal, Alpi Shnayin. That the Kinoi only needs to be with an Eid Echad, even himself, and the Stira has to be with Shnei Eidim. Heshiva Chum, Lindiv, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yuda, Ein Ledavar Sof. The Chum said, but wait, if you say that, then Ein Ledavar Sof. The Gemara is going to explain what that means. What do you mean, Ein Ledavar Sof? But first, my time is Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yuda. What's the logic? Amar Krab, Ba v'lo b'stira. The Torah says that for Tumah you need only one aid, but for something else you need two aidim. What's that something else? Stira is where you need two aidim. Vema bavlo b'kinoi. Why don't you say that it's the kinoi that needs two aidim? Nah, kinoi yiskish l'tumah. We compare kinoi to the Tumah. Duchsivi kinoi yiskish l'vinidma. Stira nami yiskish l'tumah. Duchsivi nisra v'inidma. But we have a hekish that compares stira to Tumah as well. Ha'u l'kamashir stira. kidei tuma hudasa. That hekish is not ignored. We do compare stira to tuma in terms of how long the stira has to be in order for it to count. It has to be a sheer tuma, the amount of time that they'd be able to have tuma. Heshiva chum de Rabbi Yosef Yehuda ein l'davar sof. So the Chum said ein l'davar sof. My niu. What do they mean ein l'davar sof? If you're going to allow kinoy al pi atzmo to zimnin to lokani v'amar kanai, a guy might get so angry when he sees his wife having yichud with someone that he never did kinoy, but he'll claim he did, and he's going to ask for his wife that way. But according to our Mishnah, a guy can claim his wife had yichud, and maybe it won't happen, and he'll claim it happened. We mean to say that even according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, it's ein l'davar sof. No, what do you mean? According to Rabbi Yosef, in the case of the Mishnah, there is an ikar, meaning the kinoy already happened. Alpi shnei eden. So there's more of a reason to there's less of a reason to say in the davar sof. Eli idmar hafi idmar. This is what we mean to say. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, the divar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. According to the way Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda is learning it, then afl mishnah seinu ein l'davar sof. Then we would say afl mishnah seinu ein l'davar sof, meaning not only according to shitas Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that you don't need any yisod at all with edim, you don't need any basis, any background with edim, because the kinoy could be done on his own. So then you have the kasha of ein l'davar sof. But even according to Rabbi Yosi, in our mishnah we have the kasha of ein l'davar sof, because a guy could make up a story that his wife had stira, since you don't need shnei edim on the stira. But that's what it means to say clearly, according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda in the davar sof, because you can make up the whole story meyikara. And even according to the Mishnah, you need some background, you need a kinoi, but still in the davar sof, because you could make up the whole story about the stira. Okay, Beth Shem, we'll pick up from there tomorrow.